Ava, how are you feeling? How are you feeling about being back?
Fabulous. I'm super excited for Lizzie's rendition of...
Rendition? She's going to sing it.
I was expecting a little bit more enthusiasm, Caoimhe, I won't lie.
Listen, I was expecting more time to prepare.
I don't know how...
Literally texted you last night and told you what time we were recording today.
Did you?
And the, yes. And the day before. Right. So you've and since the day been before. Messaged like twice. In the group chat.
It was either last night or the night before, fair enough. But like...
Let me check.
We
it
said...
It was still a day, yeah.
Oh yeah, so shall we do it early?
Yep.
I did not see that.
You're amazing. Coming back in true Caoimhe fashion, it's like you never left.
You know, you don't even deserve the song now that I had prepared for you last week.
Yeah, that you keep going on about.
Yeah, I mean, now you actually don't deserve it this time around because I had to change it because I couldn't do Come Out You Black and Tans this time because I've already mentioned it. So then I was going to do it in the tune to like, is it Celtic Symphony or Celtic Symphony? Do you know, like the Ooh-Ah Up the Ra one? I was going to do it to the tune of that. But since you have disappointed me before we've even began, I don't feel like I should do it for
you. I'm just surprised that you thought I wouldn't be disappointing.
But you know, people are like, people have hope and because people change.
How long have you known me?
I was hoping maybe your time away gave you some like self-reflection.
You've known me for what, like 5 years?
We thought you'd at least
seven, Caoimhe. Jesus Christ. You can't
I think
be
you're
on
thinking
time
me.
For the
I've
pod.
Known you for like five
it's
years.
It's been 7 years.
Yeah. I'd be out for murder.
Are you serious? That's
Caoimhe's
not true.
Life is literally flashing before
no, it's not
right
true.
Now. It is 100% true.
We met
Caoimhe.
In like 2014. Count.
I'm so uncomfortable. What the fuck?
Yeah.
We will be taking a brief pause from the podcast while Caoimhe realises her own mortality.
Just gong the Angelus.
A moment of silence for youth.
Jesus Christ. Anyways, point is, you've known me for 7 years and you know I don't change and then you still expect change. That's on you now at this stage.
Do you know what? That's fair. What can I say? I like to give people the benefit of the doubt and I'm always hopeful, but you know.
Love to be proven like wrong, years. But very yeah. rarely are.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, exactly. 7 years.
We'll never give up on you. Caoimhe is still fucking mind blown.
It feels like that. It makes sense that it's that long, but it also doesn't feel like it's been that long.
Yeah, because
time
mean?
Flies,
Caoimhe,
when you're like. Having fun.
Like, I've
do
been
you know
with
I mean?
Neo for like 5 years. It doesn't feel like that long, but also it makes sense. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's dating.
But you know what else is starting to
sense?
Feel long? This fucking
this
tangent.
Fucking intro.
Shall we
thank
get
you
on
God.
With the podcast?
I think we should.
So
was I starting to get a minor migraine?
Crisis, like.
Maybe.
Well, it's time for us to have a crisis about something else. So, Lizzie, why don't we just... Let's dive in.
This week, the episode is dedicated to two of our lovely listeners who kindly requested that we cover this case because they told us that, look, it doesn't get enough attention and rightfully so. This story in itself is crazy and the fact that more people don't know about it is even more so. And I just want to say my source for this week, there's a documentary on RTE. If you just look up Karen Buckley documentary, this is going to come up and it's free to watch on YouTube. So I'm going to cover the tragic murder of 24-year-old nurse from Cork, Karen Buckley. So in 1991, Karen Buckley was born into the tight-knit farming community of Mourne Abbey in County Cork. She was the eldest child of John and Marianne Buckley and she had three younger brothers. And Karen, she was extremely close with her family, like they literally meant the world to her. They were everything to her. And even from a young age, Karen's kind and caring, like her nature just shone through. And she was kind of what like we'd all describe as like the mammy of the group. So, you know, she wanted to make sure everyone was okay.
Yeah.
Very responsible. Yeah. We all know like those type of people. They are literally, to have one in a group is essential because they're literally just the light of the group. Let's be honest.
100%. Everyone needs a mom friend.
100%. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like, yeah, she was the mom of the group, but great crack as well. Like, she loved going out with her friends and she absolutely loved going travelling, so she's very free spirited as well. She was unbelievably kind and would go out of her way to make sure that everybody was okay, and she was truly adored not only by her friends and her family but also her local community. Everybody had time for her.
Aww.
She was just one of those people that everybody else radiated towards. And she had a part-time job as a waitress in the Hibernian Bar restaurant in Mallow, County Cork, One of Karen's former co-workers said that anytime she came into work, she always had a smile on her face, regardless of what she might have had going on. So anything
she
that might have been
her problems with
no,
her.
No, she never let it show. Was always smiling, always so happy.
That is the kind of person you love to work with.
Yeah, 100%. Because you could have the worst day in work, and then once you know they're there, that's it. Like,
yep, they're there to keep like your spirits up.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Like, everyone loves a good negative, like, rant in work. But it's always good to have the positive person there to be like, all right, lads, it's actually grand. We'll be fine.
Yeah.
Exactly. We'll let you natter on and have your little mini meltdown moments, but then we'll be there to, like, pick your spirits back up. So, like, you've had the de-stress of the rant, and now they're putting you on flying form.
Exactly.
Moral boost.
She was also extremely ambitious and very bright. She did very well in school and ended up getting into UL to study nursing. So for people that aren't from Ireland, UL is like the National University of Limerick. It would be one of our best universities, wouldn't it?
UL. Yeah.
I think it is. Very bright girl anyway to be able to get into it.
Beautiful campus also in UL. Just mentioning.
Yeah.
Used to hang out there a lot as a teenager. Loved it.
And after she had graduated from UL, Karen took the big leap and moved to Essex all by herself and began working in the Royal Alexandria Hospital. So it was here in Essex that she discovered that she had a great passion for occupational therapy. However, this meant that she would have to go back to university and get her master's. And the kind of the best college that would be able to offer this for her would be the Caledonian University in Glasgow. So this meant another big leap and another move. But like I said before, she was an ambitious girl, knew what she wanted to go get, so she went to go get it.
Honestly, fucking go Karen. Like, the drive of this woman.
But to be able to move by yourself... Like, and then going like in studying abroad, I always feel like there's such independence about it that I will never have.
Honestly.
Honest
to God.
It's
just very ballsy. It's like...
It is. Could never be me. Like, honestly.
You know.
It's like strength of character. It's like people who can like do things by themselves. Like, most people can't.
Like, are able to walk into bars and restaurants first without like making somebody else go first.
Or alone. And just sit there and like have a nice time in their own company.
It frightens me because I know I'll never be that.
No.
If I had my phone and I knew it was like nobody I knew worked there, I'd probably be able to. That's the criteria.
Well, not Karen.
No, not her. In January 2015, Karen moved into Garnet Hill with three fellow nurses who she made fast friends with. So right now, she's literally having the time of her life. She's making loads of new friends. Her course is going very, very well. She would like have exams in the next month, but like I said before, our girl Karen, she was what? Ambitious. She was what? Prepared. So she was taking it in her stride.
Good.
So she was really
woman.
She was really adapting to her new life in the city that was meant to be her home away from home. And obviously,
I don't
being,
like that sentence.
Yeah, I know. You won't. Being young uni students, it was only natural to go on the tear at the weekends, you know.
Of course.
And since Karen and her girls were all new to the city, they loved going out and trying out different pubs and different clubs around Glasgow City. So on Saturday the 11th of April, it was meant to be like all their other nights out. Good drinks, good company. Karen and her girls had pre-drinks at their apartment in Garnet Hill, so they were really in their vibe. Dressed in a black jumpsuit, leather jacket and red high heels, hair and makeup
fabulous.
Snatched. Karen looked what? Exactly. Stunning. On all accounts.
Amazing. Big fan of the outfit choice.
Like the word, they were expecting this to be like any other night out. Like, have a few before we go out. Get absolutely rat-arsed. Have a great night. And the girls had decided to go to the Sanctuary nightclub on Dumbarton Road. And this is in the west end of the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they arrived at the club at about 11:45 at night. So it was a bit late them getting there. However, Karen would only stay in the nightclub for about an hour. At one point, she grabs her handbag and tells the girls, like, look, just nip into the loo and I'll be back in a few. And it did seem like she had every intention of going back because she left her jacket behind. And look, we all know you're bringing a good jacket out with you.
Oh, yeah.
You're not leaving that behind.
No.
Yeah. So you could say she was
bring it to the bathroom with you.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not leaving this out of my
mind. She was, like, just running to the bathroom, like...
Yeah, mm-hmm. To then come back. But it's from here it kind of gets a little murky because her friends realise, shit, it's been a good couple of minutes now and she hasn't come back. So they try getting in contact with her, couldn't hear anything, like didn't hear anything back. And we're like, okay, maybe she just had enough, because she wasn't even pissed at this point. Like, she was only in there for an hour. Even the girls themselves weren't half caught yet. You know, they were like, okay, look, maybe she just
barely
wasn't vibing.
Two drinks in an hour.
Exactly. Because by the time you get there, you queue up, you have your drinks, you sit down, have your chat, have your dance. Like, you're not going to be pissed in the hour. Like, so they thought, look, maybe she just wasn't vibing with it tonight and just decided to go home. They were still kind of a bit unsure why she still didn't mention it to them, because she'd never go anywhere without saying anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
But also...
Yeah, you'd always say, like, lads, I'm going to head home now, I don't feel well, or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I know we all have those friends on a night out that will just stray, they disappear, and you're like, where has this bitch gone?
Yeah, but not
but
the mammy.
She wasn't like that at all.
No.
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 And they're like, okay, maybe as well, she could have found a lad. You know, she could have went back to his. So, like, they weren't panicking, like, necessarily at this point. But just said, they send her again another text, just making sure she was all right. And they went about their own night. But even now, we're not sure why Karen decided to leave the nightclub by herself. That question is still unanswered, and unfortunately I don't think we'll ever get the answer for it. But when the girls got back to their flat after the night out, they quickly realized that Karen wasn't home, and it didn't look like anybody had been there since they left. So clearly she hadn't come home by herself, or she hadn't come home, grabbed a few bits, and then could have went to somebody else's house. Nobody had shown up at all. So they tried calling and texting her again, but were met with silence. And Karen, like, literally, she was always online, always had her phone on her, so they were hoping, look, at least she might see the messages pretty quickly. Even if she didn't respond, even if she just looked at them, they acknowledged that they were asking about her. And so, like, oh, well, look, if she is seeing the messages, she might be all right. Just hasn't got time to get back to us. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
However, by 12 the following morning, her friends became increasingly more worried, as it was now lunchtime and they still hadn't heard a thing from her. She hadn't been online since the day before. None of their messages had been answered. And like we were just talking about, she was such a responsible woman, and there was literally no way she'd go out she wouldn't go anywhere or do anything without telling at least one person what the crack was, like where she was going, how long she'd be.
Yeah. And she's not just going to up and fuck off and, like, I don't know, run away from her life or whatever. Like, she had way too
absolutely
much
going
for her.
Not. Exactly. Like, she had her exams, the following month. This, like, the occupational therapy was something that she really, really wanted to go for. So she's not just going to throw that all away and do a runner.
No.
And especially as well, if she was so close with her family, she's not going to go up and abandon them.
And,
no.
Yeah. Not let them know where she is and stuff and who she's with or whatever.
So the girls reported her missing to the police. And the three of them were questioned just to kind of get an idea of, like, who Karen was, what she was like, and what happened on that night of April the 11th. And even the police then agreed that after the girl's depiction of Karen, her disappearance from the club seemed way out of character. That afternoon, the Buckley family back in Cork were contacted by Glasgow City Police to inform them, look, there's concerns about her whereabouts. Not necessarily that they're reporting her missing at the, like, present moment, but there's concern
that they're not sure where she is.
Exactly. And within 24 hours, Karen's parents had flown over from Cork to Glasgow and met with the police. And on April 13th, not long after landing and arriving in the city, the Buckley family made a plea appearance to appeal for any information regarding Karen's whereabouts. So literally, they had landed and then went straight on the television.
Jesus.
To look for any information. Like, that poor family, how they'd have, like, the strength. Like, you're literally hopping off a plane. You're so worried about your kid. And then have to stand in front of a camera and hold him
in a foreign country
and try answering questions and ask, pleading for information about your kid.
Yeah.
It takes a level of strength.
Begging people for answers, honestly, that's...
That's tough. And the police thought that by the Buckleys doing this, the public would be more willing to kind of come forward with information instead if it were asked by the police themselves. Because if you think of it, it does make sense. Like, if it's coming from a parent, you're going to see the distress and the worry. So even if you know something that you think in that moment might be a bit stupid, or you feel like you might have a bit of information that might not be relevant, you're more willing to come forward with that.
Yeah.
Okay, like, it might help.
Yeah.
But in the background...
Definitely. I was just going to say, it humanizes it as well. Like, when the police come and ask you and they're like, okay, such and such has gone missing and whatever, and you're like, you've no... Maybe they'd have a picture of her, maybe, but, like, you know what I mean? You can't really put the emotion behind it, and you're just like, oh, that's mad. but you kind of move on with your day. But then if there, you actually see the parents of this person that's gone missing and seeing the pain that it's causing and stuff, yeah, like that, like, you're going to think harder.
Exactly.
And try and offer up anything at all that might help.
Because, well, I'm not saying that the police won't care, but that's literally their job. Like, they're going to have a face, do you know, like, it's not a stoic face, but they're, yeah, going to be serious when you're like, talking.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that huge overpouring amount of emotions that, mm-hmm, is going to come from a family. That's literally going to, exactly, tug at your heartstrings. Like, you're going to find it horrendous regardless of who says it, but a family would sway, yeah, you more. Absolutely.
Exactly.
In the background, an investigation was already underway, so the police seemed like they were snappy, they were quick on this. So the police had checked the CCTV footage from the Sanctuary nightclub, and they saw footage, and Karen was seen talking to a man kind of like out the front where like a few people were having a smoke. And, mm-hmm, this same man, okay, was noticed by the police because he appeared to be kind of skulking about. Like, you could see he was with people, like he was with friends. But he also stuck out in a way because, right, it seemed like he was just watching and skulking around the place.
Right, okay.
He looked like he was being creepy, ew, essentially.
The fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And CCTV footage also showed that Karen had walked across the road from the nightclub and she was with this same man. But, like, body language, right, okay, experts were brought in to assess the tape. And they said their body language was very off, as in, like, it wasn't like, yeah, the two of them were seen chatting in the smoking area, but there wasn't, like, just a sexual tension or anything like that. By their body language, it didn't seem that she was into him like that, and even vice versa. It kind of came across as if you bump into somebody that you knew before, you're like, oh, shit, well, how are you?
Yeah.
Do you know,
yeah,
like, oh, you're surprised to see them, but you're being cordial, you're being friendly. But still distant. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you're not going to, like, being their best pal. Talking to them for too long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it wouldn't take police long at all to identify who this man was. And this would be 21-year-old Alexander Pacteau. And even, like, eyewitnesses from the nightclub that were outside the front having the smokes was like, oh yeah, that girl, it looked like she was talking to this guy at some point. Like, a few people were able to say, yeah, I've seen the two of them talking. So the police feel like at this point, look, they have a bit of a decent lead. But who, yeah, exactly,
of course,
was Alexander Pacteau, right? A cunt is who he was. And we're going to find out now in a second. Alexander,
yay,
came from a very privileged middle class background. He attended a fee paying prestigious grammar school. And a grammar school, it's a government funded secondary school. But they're able to select students based on their academic performance. So he was bright. Well, he fucking thought, yeah, he was smart. But anyway.
Yeah.
Plenty of Alexander's friends came from extremely, extremely wealthy families from the UK. Like, they had old money. So money.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And while he initially had money, it was nowhere near what his friends had. So he was extremely jealous of his said friends. Well, however, his once stable life crumbled before him when his father's business failed. So they were now under huge financial strain, which resulted in the end of his parents' marriage. So he had to live with his mum, and the pair would bounce around between, like, various council houses and council flats around Glasgow. And then when he became of age...
Going from rich to that poor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when he reached 18, he didn't have a job, so he ended up on benefits. So he was now dependent on the state.
Love
so
that for him.
I can only imagine... Like, not that I have sympathy for this tit, because I absolutely don't, but I can imagine the shock.
No, of course not.
Of having money.
Yeah.
Being comfortable and now having to depend off taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? Not that, honestly, yeah, look, there's nothing wrong with being on the,
like,
fucking,
in no way is an excuse for being a piece of shit. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. But, like, can see how that would be a shock to the system, all right.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Probably deserved one, though, so proceed.
Oh, exactly. He couldn't hold down a job for the life of him. And like his father, he also had money a failed business venture. And it also wouldn't be long before Alexander became acquainted with the law. And this is when we realise what a mahoosive C-U-N-T this man was.
With a capital K.
Mm-hmm. When he was just 17 years old, Alexander was up in court for attempted rape charge. He was 19, the offence happened when he was 17. Yeah. The attack happened on in November 2011. So like I said, he was just 17 and his victim was 24 years old at the time. They're on their way home from a night out, also in the west end of the city, which I find a bit... don't like that, considering that's... Yeah, that's where Karen went missing from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, November, excuse me, Glasgow.
Yes, I agree.
Rotten weather. Pissing rain. Yep. It's freezing cold. So they were trying to get a taxi. They walked down an alleyway, presumably to get... to a taxi rank a lot quicker, because fuck that, you don't want to be walking around in the height of winter in the piss and rain.
Yeah, honestly, freezing to death.
When Alexander pushed the woman up against the wall and tried to rape her, but by God did she fight him with everything she had, and she managed to escape.
Thank God.
Alexander showed up to court in two leg casts because... Oh, he was also on crutches, God. Because in the months previous running up to the trial, he'd got into a really, really nasty car accident. And he was in a coma for a month, but unfortunately he pulled through and he made a full recovery. I don't know why he could have been struck down in that present moment.
Unfortunately.
And honestly. I mean that with full disrespect and a strong unfortunately.
Honestly, fuck him.
So immediately he was had the fucking sympathy cripple card on display. Ugh. You feel sorry for me, I have broken legs.
Of course.
And he tells the court
that... You were walking that night, you fucker.
Mm-hmm. He tells the court that there was absolutely no way he could have committed a crime of such a sexual violent nature as this, especially towards a woman, because he himself, he was a homosexual. There's no way he could sexually assault a woman.
You're joking me.
This was his excuse. In no way did Alexander like the pain at all. He was an absolute liar. He pleaded to the jury that he was simply in the wrong place at the wrong time, and that he was the supposed victim that was actually attacked. Yeah, because he said that, oh, well, she attacked me first. She beat the living lights out of me. But why did she beat the living lights out of you, Alexander? Why?
Because you were trying to rape her, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Might that be the reason, perchance?
So with the jury not wanting to be accused of committing a hate crime, and the fact that Alexander didn't fit their initial perception of what a dirty rapist should look like, he was well spoken, he presented himself very well, they found him not guilty of all charges.
Get out of my life.
Get out of my fucking life. God. Even your one herself, she fucking
because
knew
he was
that
well
he wasn't
spoken,
going to get
like,
well spoken. Like,
what the fuck? Like,
so does that, like, by that you're essentially saying, well, people that come from poorer areas aren't as well educated, well, they're all fucking rapists. Because it can't be the people that have money,
you don't
that
rape
get a full education,
read.
That have good jobs. You're literally putting
can't
like a fine
them.
Line in distinguishing.
It's never
the two.
Them. It's almost exclusively them, but it's never them.
It just, it makes me so mad. And then I seen a statistic which really fucked me off. And this is going to be a slight introduction of a topic that we'll probably get into like another time. But the rape statistic at the time in Scotland was it something scandalous, like of all the rape cases that are brought to court in Scotland, 4% of those get a conviction, but 100% of people that are getting raped in Scotland aren't going to the fucking court. So can you imagine then how many people are
how
being let away with assault
actually getting a conviction? Yeah,
it sickens me.
That's so fucked up.
But even your one who was attacked, like, her name wasn't given, but she knew herself, she knew he was going to get off, but she still wasn't willing to try get even his name out there, or like be wary of this cunt.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be out.
Honestly, in all fairness to her, like, fair play, because trying to even come forward and attempt to do anything about it when you know the odds are stacked against you for talking out.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable, like.
Yeah.
And she
especially
made out to be the one that was the fucking maniac
against,
attacking
like,
him.
A rich lad.
Yeah. You can't come for the rich white lad.
No.
Yeah.
No matter who you are.
No.
It's a joke.
Even if you're a rich, white, young one, you're not winning. Like,
no.
No.
Never mind anything less.
And shockingly, this wouldn't be his only brush with the law. He had many dodgy dealings, which included the illegal sale of fireworks. And most notably, he ended up racking up a forgery charge. Alexander had attempted to photocopy thousands and thousands of pounds of sterling. But he was apprehended before the notes went into circulation. Even more annoying.
Wait, so he actually got a proper money printer?
I don't know how he did it. Like, I don't know if it was like a proper money printer.
I thought you were
going to
tell me this slow brain went and photocopied like back and front.
I'm nearly convinced that's what he did. I'm nearly convinced what he did, or that's what he did, because what money was he getting to be able to like do a proper operation?
Afford a money copier. Exactly.
So I'm literally convinced he went down to a local Asda, pick up a printer, photocopy.
Or library.
Yeah, that either.
Didn't even buy one himself. He just went into the library and was like, this'll work.
Yeah. He's a dopey bastard. It's actually not even funny.
What a fucking loser.
But because this is a charge of forgery, right? Like, and although he was like found not guilty with his previous charge, you would get the aspect that he's, you know, definitely not a great person. And one would assume the forgery charge, which, you know, would warrant a hefty enough sentence, which he would surely face many a jail sentence for. Do you know, he would be locked up.
Can I interject here?
Of course
you can. Are you about to let us know we're going to be disappointed?
How did you know? Yet again, Savannah, your mind amazes me.
I just got the tingles, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like something's the about to happen.
Senses, they were
sense
there.
It. Not obvious at all. It's just my amazing powers.
I'm so right. You're so smart. But no, while Alexander deserved to have the book, not just thrown at him, absolutely lobbed off his fat fucking skull, he didn't face any jail time. Instead, he had to do community service.
What?
Go pick up the rubbish that's lying on the fucking motorway. Scrub off a bit of graffiti
that you probably put there.
He was done for forgery, and he has more chance of finding a fiver than I do.
Like, but if people had actually done what was right and did their jobs, there's no way he would have been walking the fucking streets. He should not have been let out.
No.
From the sexual assault charges and now to this.
Like, very obviously, is criminally inclined and does not need to be out in the general populace. Seems fairly fucking obvious to me.
Exactly. And on the 13th of April, while the Buckleys were doing their plea appearance, the police went to Alexander's shared accommodation at Dorchester Avenue at approximately 4:30 p.m. But Alexander wasn't home. And without a warrant, the police had no grounds to go and search his apartment, so they got in contact with the landlord, who could enter the premises whenever he wanted. Because he wasn't even necessarily prime suspect at this time, it was just, you were seen last chatting to this girl, we just want a quick word. So they couldn't just go barging in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And at 5:30...
But landlords have to give people like 24-hour notice as well.
I mean, apparently they do, but we knew both know Miss Turkey Lynch.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Miss Turkey just used to arrive sometimes.
No, I was just
thinking,
like, if you got warning. Okay.
I suppose, yeah. But
you could always just lie as a landlord anyway and be like, I sent you a letter.
That's right, right. And the police had the landlord, like, with them in tow. And when the police entered the premises, they saw that Alexander had since returned home. And when Alexander saw the police, he simply said, oh, I was coming to see you. A very odd initial statement to make.
What the fuck?
Like, why were you coming to go see them?
This man is simple.
You didn't catch me, like, I'm catching myself.
Literally, like...
But that makes you sound innocent, though, like, as in, it kind of like, I was going to come see you anyways because I'm so innocent, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I know I was probably one of the last people to see her, but like...
That was definitely his thought process.
You know, it wasn't me.
But I feel like if you'd air a brain about you, you were like, why are you being sus? Because the police were very bamboozled by it as well. They were like, what? They didn't understand why he had sent that to them. Yeah, because they like that, like I said before. They weren't targeting him initially at this moment. As prime suspect number one.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have thought, okay, they're after finding something.
Exactly.
Do you know? I'll just pretend I was going to turn myself in and like explain it. And whereas
and
they were
just coming around
like,
for a quick chat.
Like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're bang on. But while there, the police had also noted that the room was a complete mess, but the carpets looked freshly cleaned. And fucking stank of bleach. The mattress.
Oh, that's always.
Be more fucking
fantastic sign.
Yeah. I'll put
use
pictures on the Insta.
Use Flora or something. It's a disinfectant. Like,
but.
Quiva, stop giving
why
tips.
Why do you bleach? Like, everyone knows.
Tips and tricks for serial killers. Keep them to yourselves. Quiva, we don't know what freaks might listen to this.
We're not trying to teach them out
like
how to
the
do
most
a better
basic
job.
Bitch.
It is, I agree. But
well, he's also a man. He's not going to go look for fucking honeysuckle and jasmine scented bleach. That's just not a thing he's going to think of.
Yeah,
like, if the man thought he could, like, photocopy money, buying varying scented bleach is not a thing that's going to be in his wheelhouse of fucking thoughts.
Come on.
You expect too much. You expect too much. I imagine if I asked David in the morning what Zoflora was, he'd be like, I don't know, like a health supplement. Like,
it's just not a thing that... And I don't even know if Zoflora was a thing back in 2015.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Oh, I feel like probably, but yeah.
Anyway,
fair point. Like,
regardless of what sort of bleach this cunt used, bleach was used.
It was bleach scented bleach.
And I'll pull up pictures, but you can see it was grimy looking, so there's no way you're going to have these freshed up clean carpets and then for the state of the room. It just wasn't.
Yeah, it that wasn't make any sense. You never start with the floor.
No.
It's the last place.
The last thing you do, exactly.
Yeah.
But even his bed, right, just say he had a double bed frame, he had a single mattress.
Yeah.
So the police were like, what? And he was a big lad. So like, didn't make sense.
Sounds a bit like he had to get rid of the double mattress for something.
Savannah, do you know what? I won't say you're right just yet, but you know, you're
not
extremely
wrong
right. No. Alexander was then taken to the police station for questioning. And like I said, this was happening at the same time as the Buckley's plea appearance, right?
Yes.
And he was made aware of this. That her family were currently on national television making a plea to the country for any information about their missing daughter. And they started to ask him about the events of April 11th. He said he'd been partying with 7 friends on that night. And because they were such a big group, they had no choice but to order 2 taxis into town. And they were headed to the Sanctuary nightclub. However, only one taxi had showed up on time. So Alexander decided to drive himself and the rest of his friends to the nightclub, despite having a few drinks. So, yet again, piece of shit, don't be drinking and driving. Alexander says, I feel like he thought, well, if I admit to drink driving, in a way, they're going
to
be like, oh, well, I'm so
upfront
and honest.
The small thing.
Yeah.
So you don't get caught for the
big
thing.
It's like
exactly.
When someone gets caught doing something bad, like say, like someone catches a lad cheating or something and they're like, oh, yeah, well, I did meet up with her, but like, I didn't, like, you admit to some of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you admit to...
I was texting her, but she came on to me.
Enough to make
like,
the lie believable, but still dancing around the truth.
That is what happened, but not the way you think it did, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's the best kind of lie. It's a lie with some truth to it.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're the most convincing. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Alexander said that they arrived at the club around 12 o'clock at night. He only stayed there till about 1, so very similar to Karen. He said he met Karen outside the front of the nightclub and that they really hit it off, so they planned to return to his apartment. Joe, for some consensual sex.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander said that Karen had left his flat at approximately 4 o'clock in the morning because during this consensual sex, she had hit her head. And she had hit it that bad that she was like bleeding profusely from it. So she was feeling sick, she was feeling dizzy. So she was like, look, I need to go home. But if that was the case, surely you know someone walking out.
She would have gone to a hospital. She was a nurse.
Exactly. She's not going to go home with a concussion. But then as well,
no
normal person is going to let her out of their line of sight when she could be walking home. She could have passed out from the concussion.
Yeah.
Anything could have happened to her. You didn't see her get into a taxi. She's not going to walk home.
You're not
home.
Letting someone...
Like, she's only new to the city.
Bleeding and vomiting.
Exactly.
Oops.
She's new to the city. She's only just met you. So what makes you think she knows her way from his apartment back to Garnet Hill?
Anywhere. Like, exactly. Yeah.
It's not. No. So the police were kind of caught off guard by this because Alexander had just mentioned all of this unprovoked. So they hadn't asked him anything about meeting Karen.
Oh.
Like, and like going off where. Do you remember like before I said the CCTV footage she was shown crossing the road from the Sanctuary nightclub and he was like, essentially right beside her, chatting and walking. They hadn't said any of that. They were just like, you were seen on CCTV footage in the Sanctuary nightclub chatting to this girl. What do you know about her? And he just word vomited.
Rattled
all
it
of
off.
This.
Yeah.
And they weren't expecting it. So at that, they were like,
V rehearsed.
Exactly. And why was that your first... Like, they didn't even get a chance to ask him anything else because he was just non-stop talking. So it was very, very suspicious. Because as
completely
well, I feel
like
when people have something to hide, they don't shut the fuck up. Because they're trying to talk so much that like they're trying to protect like the inner thoughts that they know of like what could essentially get them caught, so they'll just spout out shite to protect that.
Yeah, keep you distracted.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what he said to them, which is even more fucking weird?
Go on.
Oh, that can also explain why if you find any blood in my bedroom, it's from when Karen hit her head during sex. Man, they never mentioned that about it.
Oh my god.
They never mentioned anything about doing a deep dive, fucking full on forensic search in your apartment. Not once was it mentioned.
Like,
he had answers prepared for questions that weren't even asked.
Great way to keep the suspicion off of yourself. Like, honestly.
But with,
like, it is literally, he rehearsed an interview with the police over and over and over again to the point where he just got it all out in one go.
Yeah, exactly.
When it actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. And the police, with this new information, relayed it to the Buckleys because, look, they had to tell them what was being told. They weren't trying to keep anything further from them. But because there was no body, the Buckleys, obviously, they were hopeful that she would be found. Because, like that, you could speculate. Alexander, he could have been telling the full truth. She could have passed out somewhere from her head injury. Because at this point, Alexander's apartment wasn't the only place being searched. Surrounding woods, fields, and bodies of water, because they had, like, dug canals. They were also being searched.
Yeah.
So at that point, look, you could speculate that he was telling the truth. So they did. They had hope.
Yeah.
And Alexander's Ford Focus had also been seized for examination. And instead, this is what I don't like. They were efficient doing most things with this investigation, but this is what pissed me off. Instead of being placed in, you know, a holding cell, which is what they're for, to hold now suspects for crimes, the police put Alexander up in a Holiday Inn where he was allowed to go to and from as he pleased, because obviously he couldn't go back to his apartment now that it was being searched, because he's like, oh, blood could be found there. So the police were like, bitch, what? So now they have to do a search, so he couldn't go back home. But instead of putting him in a fucking jail cell, they put him in a fucking Holiday. Like, I know it's not the Ritz, it's a fucking Holiday Inn, but it's still better than what he deserved. You have holding cells in a jail.
Honestly.
For a purpose.
Yeah, but they would have had to arrest him for that.
But being placed in a holding cell, but if he's starting to implicate himself
They'd have to name him an official suspect.
But,
and until they find anything, they can't do that.
But they would have had to do that anyway to be able to get warrant to search his apartment, which they already then, like, were in the process of getting. Because he quite literally implicated himself to be like, well, oh, there was blood found there. Or you're going to find blood there, so the police are going to have to... That's true, can't take it for his word.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why they couldn't put him in a holding cell.
I don't know.
Like, you could be put in a holding cell in the morning if you were, to say, like, in a car with somebody that was after getting caught by the guards and there was drugs in the car. You're not being arrested, but you can be still put in a holding cell while awaiting questioning. So there was no reason why that couldn't have happened. It didn't make sense to me. Made me very angry. So this was becoming a massive case. It was all over news both throughout the UK and back home here in Ireland. And now it was time for the press to get involved, these sneaky little sneaks. I know majority of the time we're like, fuck the press, but at this time, God bless the press. Because they wasted absolutely...
Oh, that's such a nice change of pace.
Like, wasted no time in trying to find out who exactly was being held by the police for, you know, a disappearance at this point. Not even necessarily a murder, but for the disappearance. So, you know, they did their little sneaky sneak ways.
Yeah.
Got their informants in and figured out that was Alexander Pachtold that was being held in police custody on question of Karen Buckley's disappearance. So what did they do? They ran with his picture. They ran with his face in the paper and were like, this is the man that is suspected of this crime.
No way.
Yeah. Of course they did.
I love it.
Because they wanted, they were like...
Stir up the public hatred before he goes to trial.
That, but as well, because it kind of didn't seem like... people were coming forward with the Buckley's plea statement. Well, look, we're going to release his name. We're going to release his picture. Did this man, have you seen him? Do you know him? What kind of a person is he like? And did you see him acting anyway suspiciously with over the last couple of nights? So they had full intentions of like helping the police with this, but just in their own sneaky, sneak way. So now that this was all public information, but the police had to confirm it. And now they were going on to start asking his neighbours about his behaviour, who he was like as a person. And they were like, oh, he's very quiet, he kept to himself, he didn't really bother with anybody. But their tune would kind of quickly change. The following day, on April 14th, a passerby had been in Dalton Park in the Kelvin... Is it Kelvin? Yes, it is. Sorry. In Dalton Park in the Kelvin... I am having a fucking stroke.
I hate when that happens.
Kelvindale, it's not a hard word to say. It's really not. I'm going to start that again. And the following day, on April 14th, a passerby had been Dalton Park in I can't say Kelvindale. What is wrong with me? I'm actually having a brain melt. Okay. So the following day, on April 14th, a passerby had been in Dalton Park in the Kelvindale area of Glasgow, which happened to be very close by to Dorchester Avenue, where Alexander lived. They'd found a handbag in a bin. So obviously you're not expecting just to see a woman's purse lying in a bin. So obviously your man was being proper nosy.
Honestly.
As he should. And he checked, he opened up, tried to see if he could get in contact with the person that it belonged to. Because, you know, for all he knew, somebody had dropped it. Someone else had flogged the cash and had thrown the wallet in the bin. So he might be able to get like their ID and like, at least give it back to them so they know, hey, look, your purse has been found, but the money's gone. That was like initially running through this person's head. But when he opened the purse, he saw it was Karen Buckley's. He saw her ID, and like that, the story had been running all around the news at all hours. So he knew. He knew who she was and that this was very, very, very serious. And so he immediately got in contact with the police and said, I'm after finding Karen Buckley's purse. I'm in such and such a place. And the police raced there to interview this man. On April 15th at 3 p.m, the police were contacted by a former co-worker of Alexander Pacto. And he told the police that Alexander used to have a shed, or kind of, it was like a shed slash like storage unit, right? In their old place of employment. And this would be at High Craigton Farm. And he said that Alexander used to store his illegal fireworks there. So the place, it was always locked up. So if he had anything to hide...
Oh, God.
He had a strong suspicion that this was where it was going to be. But as well, he wouldn't have known to ring the police if the press didn't release his picture and his name.
Yeah, very true.
You have to be grateful for that. Because the police weren't going to come out with it anytime soon that it was Alexander that was being held in question.
Yeah, honestly.
And the police figured out that Alexander was still renting this shed for £10 a week from his former employer. So they're like, right, we're going to go, we have to check. So on the early hours of April 16th, the police began their investigation at High Craigton Farm. And just before they got to the rented out shed, they found a patch of burnt out grass, like completely scorched.
Oh.
No reason to have that on a farm.
That's... No, not
I'm very close to the shed that he was renting out. It's starting to look a bit more.
Yep.
So when they finally found the shed, they found that it was padlocked. So they had to break it open. And once they got inside, they noticed, like, look, it's a bit cluttered, but nothing initially stuck out. But one copper noticed a pile in the corner. There was a bicycle wheel and a paper shredder kind of on top of a big white sheet that appeared to be draping over something, right? So it just piqued his interest. He went over, took all the shite off the top of it and removed the sheet. And that's when he saw a 220 litre blue plastic barrel. And naturally the first thing he was going to do was try crack it open just to see. Because your man had told him that Alexander had stored illegal fireworks there. So you never know, he might think, well, he's finding other dodgy shit in here. Maybe not expecting what he actually found. But when the copper did open up the barrel, he found the severed body of Karen Buckley submerged in the liquid that would later turn out to be sodium hydroxide, or what we know it as, like, caustic soda. No shadow of a doubt now that Alexander had killed Karen Buckley at this point. He was trying to dissolve her, he was trying his best. It was clear, like you've just said, he was trying to dissolve her body. But the acid wasn't exactly corrosive enough to destroy evidence or to further disfigure her body. So Karen's body was taken for autopsy, where it was quickly ruled that she had died as a result of a subdural hemorrhage. So she had been beaten with a heavy, heavy object multiple times. And that's how she had died.
Jesus Christ.
She also had several defensive bruises on her arm. So she fought him. She did. She tried her fucking best. She fought with everything she had to get away from this cunt. But
bastard.
He overpowered her. And once the autopsy was completed, the police were surveilling Alexander and they had just been told then by the police that were on the scene, we're after finding Karen Buckley. So the police that were tailing him, because like I said before, he was allowed to roam around and do whatever the fuck he wanted. Anyway, he was arrested at 1:55 p.m.
They still weren't taking their eyes off him, at least.
No, they weren't. And he was arrested outside a Starbucks cafe in the middle of the city centre. Karen's family were also contacted and told that the missing persons report had now turned into a murder inquiry. Like, they definitely would have seen that phone call coming. And because they were so hopeful, as they naturally would have been, they could have definitely assumed, oh, they're ringing hopefully with good news.
Yep, that they found her.
Yeah. Mm. To be then told, like, their worst nightmares had fucking come true.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fucking awful, like, I can't imagine. No.
And the people of Glasgow really, really rallied behind the Buckley family. They held candlelit vigils, they were offering prayer, like, they were crying with the family because they couldn't get over that this beautiful young girl had come over to their city to live, yeah, to study, yeah, to thrive, had been so brutally murdered by one of their own.
You don't expect that in, like, and I know it sounds stupid, but, like, I feel like, as an Irish person, I feel like going to Scotland is like going to Ireland. Like, I feel like you'd feel so safe, yeah, over there.
You do, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to most other places.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Because it is so similar to home. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Like, it wouldn't be a place, yeah, I'd be sketched out going to, even by myself.
Yeah, I'd never, yeah, like, Scotland would probably be the least scary place to go by yourself because it's so, the people are so sound and similar.
They're very
to
similar
us.
As well to
you
us,
don't
yeah,
expect stuff
yeah,
like that.
You're 100% right. Alexander's old friends then contacted the police regarding his behaviour and attitude towards women. Big incel energy, that's all I'm going to say initially.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
God,
said he had an unhealthy addiction to porn and he had difficulty getting with girls. And he resented women for it.
Right.
Because he couldn't get them. Well, he fucking hated them for it. Like, the fault was all theirs. It was never anything got to do with himself.
Of course. Because why would it be? Mm-hmm.
And he often made lewd comments about women and how to dispose of bodies. Like, I know we have it. Like, we do have chats where, like, right, lad, the perfect murder, this is what we're doing. But he would make it in a sense that the conversation would come out of nowhere and he'd take it really dark and it would get really fucking weird.
Yeah.
And it always made his friends, yeah, uncomfortable. So it did.
Yeah, like, you don't just bring that shit up casually when you're having a few pints with the lads.
No.
Like, that's our private time conversation.
Exactly. A neighbour then came forward to say that she had seen Alexander struggle to put a large blue barrel bucket into the boot of his Ford Focus. Yep. In the early hours of the 13th. So, but when the police were initially asking, they were like, oh, yeah, no, he's quite a young lad. But now it's like, oh, no, actually, because there's without a shadow of a doubt now that he has done this, that the neighbour felt like they, yeah, could go with that information, which is ridiculous, just go with it anyway. Like, if you're, yeah, seeing someone struggle to put a heavy blue barrel in the boot of their car in the very early hours of the morning.
In the wee hours of the morning. Yeah.
It's a bit weird.
Like, that's questionable and you should definitely
not keep it to yourself.
Like, hey, the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm. Cadaver dogs had also detected Karen's blood in Alexander's car. And his fingerprints were also found on the inside of the barrel. So all this, like, thing hoping he was going to dissolve her body, like, it couldn't even dissolve his fucking fingerprints.
Yeah, caustic soda is like, you can barely unblock a drain, mate. Like,
fucking idiot. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Like, not that I hoped he was successful, but, like, you're a fucking idiot, like. Going around with, it's the confidence
of
which
not,
he went,
yeah,
around
shows,
with. To think he,
exactly,
could get away with a crime as horrendous as this.
The fact that he thought he was too big and important and fucking clever to be caught.
Exactly.
And that this shit would just work out for, mm-hmm, him.
I swear to God, if he thought he was, like, if he didn't have such an obnoxious, like, sense to himself, he probably would have got away with it. If he hadn't been like, oh yeah, let me just tell you all the reasons as to why it's not me before they even,
yeah,
fucking asked him anything.
Ask
like
a question, like.
Trying to stay one step ahead but getting yourself, like, one, like, shot in the foot.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is a common fucking, or like an obvious trait of
guilt,
egotism and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the cockiness of it. It's like, I'm so much smarter than you. I'm going to answer your questions before you even ask them. I'm going to dissolve this body, even though I have absolutely no idea of the acidity levels,
yeah,
of what he was using and shit like that. Like, just thinking he was that fucking clever that it was all,
yeah,
going to pan out for him. I'm fucking thrilled it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because it made it so very fucking easy to catch him.
Yeah, it really did. Because, like, this, we're on the 16th going into the 17th, and sure, it's a week
yeah
after, which thankfully, look, she was found, at least her family could find solace knowing that she hasn't been missing for fucking years, because holding on to hope for that long,
yeah,
it's a different type of heartbreak. God, yeah. As well,
and then having the hope slowly die out, like, it is shit to have hope ripped away from you like that as well, obviously. Yes. There's nothing more fucking heartbreaking, obviously.
Yeah,
than getting a call to say one of your family members has been murdered, of all things.
Yeah,
but like, it's not worse than not knowing, I don't think, because like you said, you're always, every time you hear someone come through the door, or
yeah, you're going to shoot up,
I don't know, a car that sounds like theirs, or yeah, do you know, that kind of thing.
You might see somebody on the street that looks vaguely like them, you're going to stop. You hear a laugh that sounds like their laugh.
And it's going to break your heart every single time.
Exactly.
So it is, at least, yeah, they got their answers, but it doesn't help too much.
So needless to say,
awful, awful, awful.
If they didn't have Alexander by the bollocks by now, or by then, before finding the fingerprints, they surely do now. Mm-hmm. And they were still scanning the local area for any CCTV footage to see if they could find Alexander and Karen walking down the rest of the road to see what actually had happened. Do you know, like, did he attack her when they were out in public? Did he do it back in the apartment? But CCTV footage from not a local building. They didn't say which building it was, but a building in the area. There we go. It showed that Alexander was up near Dolsham Park and that he was parked there on Kelvin's Way for exactly 12 minutes and 46 seconds before he tore off. So he just drove there, parked up, and then fucked off after that very, very short amount of time. And Alexander would end up changing his story.
And this is where the handbag was found,
That's where the handbag was found, yeah. Or near enough where the handbag was found. Yes. It's all kind of up on Kelvin's Way.
Yeah.
It's in around that area. It's very close.
That kind of area. Yeah.
He changed the story at least 4 times. And this would happen after a new piece of evidence was shown. So he'd say one thing like, Alexander, stop.
Amazing.
Stop it now, because we've after finding this. And be like, oh shit, sorry. And yeah, I meant, that's exactly what this cunt was like. He was tripping himself up.
Yeah.
But with the overwhelming amount of evidence, he had no other choice but to confess now. And now we know what took place on that fateful night and the events that followed.
Am I ready?
Nope.
No, I thought not.
Alexander repeated the information to the police that he gave in his initial statement, you know, that he was with his 7 friends, that he had drove to the nightclub, he only stayed there for about an hour. That part of it was true.
Right.
That part. Alexander had bumped into Karen outside the Sanctuary nightclub, and to her, it was just a random chat with a random young lad, but to him, she was the one he was going to kill. And we don't even know if, like, that, even now, if he had set out that night with the intention that he was going to kill somebody, or did he fucking do it in the moment? We don't know. Did he just look at her and just think,
even when he, like, had he planned it when he met her, or was it kind of like he just ended up doing it?
We don't know. We honestly, we do not know.
Jesus Christ,
what drove him to do this? And that's why it's more fucking maddening at the fact, like, not it would make it easier if there was rhyme or if there was reason behind it, but the fact that he could just go out and snap, if that was the case, and just pick somebody.
Yeah. And you do, like, everyone wants fucking answers. Like, you want to know why. Why her? Why did he have to do it? Like, why?
Exactly.
You want to know why, and he's denying them that even. I'm like
he's robbing the family
of
that.
Not even that his answer would have been good enough. No, of course it wouldn't have been. But yeah.
But you've stolen enough from this family, as is. Fucking let them have the reason why you decided to ruin their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Karen had left the nightclub and had crossed the road that was seen on the CCTV footage. Alexander had also crossed the road, so we don't know if it was at this point that they had the meeting outside the nightclub. Did it, like, seal some weird fucking fate in his head, or like, right, okay, this clearly meant something, she's the one, we don't know.
Yeah.
But he said he offers her a lift home to save her having to walk and get a taxi. And Karen, you can't blame her. She's after having good enough chats with him. He seems like a nice, safe lad to be around. He's offering to drive her home.
So she accepted.
Yeah, it would have taken her like 10 minutes, maybe, in the car to get home. So it saved her from walking into the city to pay for a taxi to then be drove back out. So it would have taken a lot longer as well. And the fact that she was walking by herself late at night, what do you think the safer option is going to be? Get into, obviously, the car with the lad that you've just been chatting to. That seems like a good guy. You can't blame her for that. And the fact that he was out with so many of his friends as well.
Which is fair, like, no, you can't.
He seems like, he's a fun, sociable lad.
Yeah.
His friends seem like they are sound lads, so what wrong, or what, like, horrendous thing can come of it. Alexander had started...
You would not be thinking the worst.
No, like, you really won't. He'd started to drive in the direction of Karen's flat, but he then made a turn onto Kelvin's Way, and it was only 4.5k away from the club. So they'd left, to say, around 1 o'clock, we said, but within a 15 to 20 minute, or 20 minute period, he had murdered her. He wasted no time. He drove up the road.
What the fuck?
Had parked up and struck her in the head 13 times with a heavy duty wrench that he had in the car.
What the fuck?
And he then drove to Dolchin Park and dumped her handbag. Like, 15 to 20 minutes to decide that you were going to murder someone.
For no reason at all.
No reason.
That's fucking Jesus Christ. What a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's actually a horrendous human being. Like, it takes me honestly, 20 minutes to decide,
reminding me
or longer,
of
what I want to eat for fucking dinner. And this cunt has so easily made up his mind, well, I'm going to murder this girl.
I'm
going
to fucking ruin a whole bunch of people's lives today and end one.
For no fucking reason. Yeah,
just for...
Like, what the fuck? He's seriously reminding me of fucking, like, that dandy character from American Horror Story Freak Show, where he's like...
Just kill because
obviously,
he could.
Dandy didn't lose his money, but you know what I mean? Like, rich white boy just bored and spoiled and mad at the world for no reason. Yeah. And just decided to go out and do this because it would make him special.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
It's ridiculous. Because we don't know what kind of gratification he got from it. Because he never said it.
No, yeah.
So was he just fucking curious as to what it was like? And decided, oh well.
It must have been, like, going to give it a go. I'm so fucking clever and special. Like, nothing's going to fall back on me for this.
Clear sociopath or even psychopath. If you can have that much, like,
I would agree,
lack of empathy towards another person, and to make such a quick judgment call on something like that.
And to strike her 13 times with full force into the head.
And lads, when I say he was a big lad, he was a big lad. Yeah. He wouldn't have needed 13 times.
Fucking hell, like.
To kill her. Like, she was a small, slight woman. He was huge.
Like how could 13 you times, that's just that rage just at this 15 point. Minutes, 15, 20 minutes ago. Yeah. How could you have that much rage towards someone you don't know?
No.
It doesn't.
I don't understand.
Unless, because there wasn't a lot of his stuff about, like, that women weren't getting with him, unless she kind of...
Yeah, she rejected
him. Changed her mind or something.
Yeah.
She changed her mind or something.
That very well, yeah. Because, like, that we don't know, so...
You know?
You could obviously...
No.
Yeah, 100% speculate that that's what it was.
Like, I'm not...
Could be that, like, he was
just
talking about driving her home and... Asked her if she was going to invite him in, or like, oh, will we go to my apartment instead? And she was like, fuck no.
Yeah.
It could be, like, it could just be nothing. It could be they barely even spoke in the car and he just decided to kill her because he's a massive piece of shit.
Oh,
but
no,
for that level of rage, it does seem like there should be a trigger.
Just because the way he was about women anyways, like, it would kind of make sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I fully agree with you, and I feel like it's probably, like, very likely a scenario that could have happened. But we can't say because we don't know.
Yeah, no. Of course, yeah.
And I think it's because we don't know that you're so eager to speculate, oh, well, this must have been the reason. This should have been the reason. This makes sense.
Yeah. And it's not at all that we're trying to be like, well, she has to have done something that made him
absolutely not
lose
no.
it and kill her. It's not that at all. Not at all.
It's his rationale.
Because he was going to do it regardless. Yeah. It's more, it's what triggered him. It doesn't matter what she really would have said or done or tried to do in that situation. It was going to happen either way.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just there's one point that really solidified it. I don't know. Set it off, set it in motion.
No, yeah, you're right.
And you would like to know what that is. So you can kind of, I don't know, keep an eye out for people like him as well. I think that's why we do try and explain it away for ourselves.
Yeah.
So we convince ourselves that we can see the characteristics that we talk about in these fucking lunatics. And try and hope for the best that we can spot them in the future.
Yeah.
I think that's why we try to fill the gaps. And, like, that's why it's fucking horrendous that he's just not giving any answers.
Yeah. No, you're right. At approximately 2 a.m. that morning, well, that night, he arrived back at his flat at Dorchester Avenue. And knowing that his flatmates would still be out, so he would have privacy and no interruptions, he carried Karen's body into his room, wrapped her up in a sheet and went to sleep. Like he'd just come home from a hard day's work. And lads, when I mean...
What the fuck?
He wrapped her body in a sheet. Do you remember the way there was blood on the mattress? Yeah? It's not said,
yeah.
But I'm assuming by that, like, I could be very wrong in my speculation and my assumptions, but I feel like he actually slept beside Karen's body because there wouldn't be... If she was wrapped up in a sheet and placed on the floor, there wouldn't be blood on the mattress because he killed her in the car.
Yeah. No, it does. It sounds like he slept next to her body.
Could have, yeah.
You know.
It just creeps me out.
I just really don't want that to be the fucking case.
No, and I don't want to put that in people's fucking heads either, but Jesus Christ.
He went to go sleep on the couch or something, but...
No, it makes sense though as well.
At 8 a.m. on April 12th, Alexander goes on to Google and searches properties of caustic soda. So doesn't he even try to go into incognito mode?
Oh my God.
Jump cunt. But anyway.
This is embarrassing.
He locks Karen's body in his bedroom while he tips down to his local B&Q about 9:42 a.m. And he purchases a mask, gloves, 6 litres of caustic soda. And he then goes to a pound stretcher and buys more caustic soda. I feel like if you work in a shop and you see somebody buying this much caustic soda, ask questions. Oh, why are you doing that?
Honestly. Is this Dennis Nielsen trying to unclog the toilet in his building? Like, no, I don't think so.
You're actually bang on. Alexander then returned home, stripped Karen, and tried to dissolve her body in the bath. The process was taking longer than expected, and he knew his housemate was to return by 8 p.m. So he had to speed up the process. And he did this by cutting up Karen's body from the sternum to her abdomen. Obviously.
Jesus Christ.
Like, what even is the word? I can't fucking think. He's desecrating her body further and further and further for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Because the caustic soda clearly is not working. It's not the fact that she was initially, this is going to sound ridiculous and disgusting, and I'm sorry, because she was whole at one point. That, because she's in pieces now, doesn't mean that it's going to work.
Decay any faster.
No. Yeah. It's not.
It's like, you're not stewing meat. I'm sorry for saying it, but like, you know what I mean? It's not like if you cut up a bit of beef to make it stew faster.
Exactly. It's not the same thing. No, it's not.
And he clearly seems to be thinking, yes, smaller chunks will go faster. Yeah. Like,
but
moron.
Like I said, it wasn't working. And at 5 p.m, he drained the bath and moved her body back into his bedroom once more. And just
Jesus Christ.
It's actually fucking disgusting what he did to her. And just before 6 a.m. on the morning of the April 13th, Alexander dumped the wrench that he had used to kill Karen in a local canal. He then went to Tesco's and asked an employee if they could recommend a product that could get blood out of a mattress. Yet again, ask questions.
Oh my God.
Ask questions. Like, why do you need to know that?
Listen, why? Blood out of a mattress. But the thing is, yeah, I suppose.
But still, lads.
Like, yeah, I know it's something that could happen with like a nosebleed or lady time. But I'd still be like...
Well, I feel like if you're trying to get blood? It out of a mattress, it has to be a considerable amount.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's just my thought. But while he was here, he also bought more gloves, white spirits, a lighter, and a padlock. So, the burn patch, if you could, you know what it was fucking from now. And this is when he makes his...
Like, we literally...
Oh, yeah. Like, that is serial killer, what, like, if you were going and doing your local serial killer shop. That's what you buy.
Genuinely. And it's like, he's done it to the point, so by the book, that you can follow his fucking movements and what he did and his thought process nearly by his shopping list, like by his receipts.
Yeah.
Isn't it a joke, like?
Ridiculous.
And this is when he makes his first trip out to High Creighton Farm. He drove a Karen's body in the car, and when he arrived at High Creighton Farm, Alexander burned his mattress, the sheet that she was wrapped in, her clothes, and a suitcase. I'm not sure if the suitcase was used to put the bloody sheets and to put her clothes, but I'd assume that it was.
Probably, yeah.
Because if what the neighbour said was true, her body could have either been in the suitcase or her body could have already been in the barrel, but he might just have had the barrel with the caustic soda already in. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's fair.
But like that, he burned it all. Alexander would make a total of 4 trips to High Creighton Farm before his eventual arrest. 500 coppers were involved with the case, and over £500,000 was spent by Glasgow City Police to try to get Karen and her family the justice that they deserved. On April 17th, 2015, Alexander Pacto was arrested and charged with the murder of 24-year-old Karen Buckley, and he makes no plea. He knows he's not getting out of it because, overwhelming amount of evidence. There's no escaping it.
Yeah.
And Karen was flown home and laid to rest on April 28th. Her family were never allowed to see her, and probably for the better. Like, obviously they couldn't have an open casket, given what was done. But I think when her body was found, I don't even know if her family were allowed to come in and identify the body, because it was that bad.
I wouldn't imagine so, considering.
Yeah. So, like, he has robbed them then of the last memory that they were going to have with their daughter. Mm. They couldn't give her a final
fucking
goodbye.
Fucking bastard, like.
Oh, fucking horrendous, man. It turns my stomach. Alexander Pakhto's trial began on Tuesday, the 8th of September, and he was found guilty of murder. He never gave any rhyme or reason for why he did what he did, and he didn't say why it was Karen that he had chosen. He just did. And like that, like we were talking earlier on, we're still left with the question as to why. I don't think, honestly, yeah, we're ever going to get it. The presiding judge at the time sentenced Alexander to life imprisonment with having to serve a minimum of 23 years before the possibility of the parole. The Buckley family were made one victim impact statement after the trial, and lads, I swear to God, I'm not even going to repeat what they say, because just watch it for yourselves. It is so fucking sad. Like, he had sat with them in court, back turned to them, didn't even look them once in the fucking eye, never said a thing to them, and they come out and like the father just gives this speech about like how his daughter, who his daughter was, and how much of a coward Alexander was. It broke my heart. It is so sad. So I do highly recommend everybody go watch that, the victim impact statement. It's on YouTube. Because I can't do it justice for how they were able to speak about their daughter. It's not.
Horrendous. It's so sad.
And the reason why the judge gave him, because 23 years sounds a bit, why not 25? The judge said because of his age. Now, she did give more of a reason to it as well. You can find that clip as well. She knocked 2 years off the sentence. Yeah. But he still has to serve 23 years before he has a possibility of parole. So he is currently sitting on his fat fucking hole in prison. And that is the tragic murder of Karen Buckley. And the outcome of it just fucks me off so much. It's like, yeah, they have justice, it's because all... he's locked up behind bars. He should have been locked up behind bars before he had done this.
He should never have had the chance to do what he did.
No.
That way, it was a very, very, very sad case. And I hope, and I mean it with full disrespect, that he fucking rots in that prison and knows, honestly, no happiness at all.
No. I hope nobody is leaving him alone for 5 solitary minutes of peace. Oh, that was horrible.
It was horrible.
Honestly.
And like that, I never have even heard about this case. So I do, like, I want to thank the listeners that had brought it to our attention. No. Because it is a case that deserves more attention and more light on. Because let's be honest, I know we've covered like heavy hitters, but you're sick of hearing about Ted Bundy's, the fucking, I don't know, Zodiac killer, all bullshit like that.
Yeah, not the same old serial killers that are almost idolized.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember when it happened. I remember her pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
It's sad. Like, cases like this then often get overlooked. Because I feel like as well, especially like, I'm just going to sound extremely hypocritical because we run a fucking true crime podcast, but media does drum up attention for, obviously, not saying the cases of those victims, of the likes of Ted Bundy and everything isn't horrendous, but like that you said, it nearly idolizes them. And it nearly separates it away from reality. Yeah. That you can look at it as a form of entertainment when it's fucking not.
Exactly. And we said this on last week's episode, that when you make monsters of these people to the point where they become that untouchable by reality, you can't fucking take them down. And they become something completely other than what they were, which was just pieces of shit.
Yeah.
They were just pieces of shit. And he is a massive piece of shit. The pictures of him,
state of a man. Really, not that I'm here to body shame, but I am with fucking him.
He's the scariest looking man. Like,
he is.
He looks
scary.
Like fucking Crab. Even just Crab and Goyle.
There's nothing behind the eyes.
No,
like
that, and that's what's terrifying. They are literally soulless. He's terrifying looking.
So it almost, looking at him, it almost doesn't surprise me that he has no apologies or
no
fucking shits to give about what he's done, or giving answers to the family, or helping them move on. Like, it's just whatever to him.
It made me so mad.
Animal.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. It's exactly what he is. And of course he had to attack a small, slight woman that had, as much as she did fight him, she had no hope of fucking defending herself against him.
Oh, honestly.
Absolute coward is what he was.
People their own size. He's, it's for a reason. He's dead. Her dad is dead, right? She's only a coward, like.
Yeah, he is.
Now that we're all so very sufficiently mad.
Yeah, I'm like,
and I do.
There's like nothing to say. It's like, it's just,
there's not. There's really not.
And everything about him. And he's fucking...
No.
I hope he's having a horrendous
time. He looks like he's melting and good enough for him.
Weak chin and Neanderthal fucking forehead.
Do you know
what
he looks like? Do you know the penguin from fucking Batman?
He just, like...
Oh my God.
Just a melted face.
He's just... I don't know. He just looks like such a scumbag. Like, he looks like...
Fucking, yeah. I hope he gets prison shanked before he ever has the opportunity to see daylight outside of a cell wall ever again. Like, oh, yeah, we're mad and we would love some sweet, sweet street justice for that fucker. But we're never going to get it, are we?
No.
We're not going to get the answers and no one's going to get peace from it. And like, if three people like us who are only hearing about the story now are feeling like that, God only knows how the family still feel.
Honestly. It's always baffled me how the actions of one completely throw other people's lives into fucking turmoil. For no reason. No reason.
Yeah. Yeah. None at all. Just because he felt a bit slighted by life. Fuck off.
Oh God love you. Have a fucking cry and get over it.
Yeah. You poor mite. Awful.
Yeah. And I hope I did the story justice because it made me all types of fucking mad.
I did.
Yeah.
All types of mad. I've no thoughts now. I feel like I have to have a lie down.
No, I
do like a rage nap.
I feel like I need to go smoke and stare at a blank wall for at least 5 minutes.
I feel like it's well deserved. And Cuiva,
I agree.
I feel like
how does it feel to be back full of trauma again?
Like, had readjusted to not having to listen to people being fucking massive cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
This is where Cuiva realises she actually, in fact, does not want to do the podcast anymore and doesn't need this in her life.
I actually have been, like, I have so many ideas of, like, shit, like, subjects I want to cover as well. I have so many. And I know I'm going to ruin my life with them.
It's been a fun one. We're not at all feeling very depressed right now.
No.
We'll be back making Cuiva do something next week because me and Lizzie have been doing the last 5 weeks and we deserve a fucking break. So
we're slacking off this time, Cuiva, and it's up to you.
Yeah. We'll be back next week with something and we hope you look forward to it because we do. We'd like to find out what it is as well.
Yes.
And shout out to those listeners. We appreciate you. We are glad that you listen to us enough to actually reach out and request to hear us rattle on about something for once. And we appreciate it. And
thank you.
That's all I got. So positive vibes and negative tests and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our cult.